Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. If you have your Bible tonight, open to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And we're going to continue in our study. We are rapidly going through the book of Ephesians. Now, remember, the first part of Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 are really our position in Christ. And now, since we've started chapter 4, 5, and 6, that really speaks to more about our walk. And so I want to thank those of you that I spoke to this week for the encouragement. I get behind this mic twice a week, and I honestly just think that this is a waste of time. But I'm glad to hear that people are listening. And so now that I know that people are listening, I'm going to be on my very best behavior and do the best possible job that I can. No, I'm just kidding. I always try and do that. However, this has been a long, long season of, I don't even know how to put words to it. There's a lot of unknown. It's frightening for some people. It's lonely for some people. It's frustrating for some people. For most people, it's all the above at any given time. And so I just want to encourage you. You're not alone. I am right where you are. I have good days and I have bad days. And when I try and consider how long this will be and how long this is going to be affecting me, it's a scary thought. However, God is not frightened by any of this. God knows exactly what's going on. And our job is to look to Him. And whenever we look inward, whenever we look at circumstances, we get fearful, right? We are called to walk on water. We are called to rise above circumstances. We are called not to look at what man sees, but what God sees. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So I want to encourage you not only to continue listening, but if you can, make it to service. If you feel that you are healthy enough to be around other people, socially distance with masks, that's great. Come on out. We meet 6:30 on Wednesdays and 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Men's prayer is still at 8 o'clock on Saturdays at the church. So hopefully you're all doing well. I know that I've spoke to a number of you that are electing to stay home, and I'm just praying that God will bless you and that we will be fellowshipping soon. So if you have your Bible, turn tonight to Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. And while we're there, I'm going to just give a quick introduction about what we're talking about. So Christians often talk about the need to speak the truth in love. And this command is actually found in the text that we're going to be covering, excuse me, this evening. And what they mean is the need to share difficult truths in a gentle way, right? And we know that difficult things are best heard when, you know, our defenses are not up. When our defenses are up, we get easily intimidated, we get easily hurt. Hard truths are more readily received in a loving environment. That's just the bottom line. So it's biblical to share hard truths with others in love in the manner that the phrase is commonly used, which we will cover tonight. However, when we look at the context of Ephesians 15, we're given a deeper insight into what it means to speak the truth in love, right? And I think that both of those things can definitely coexist, truth, and speaking it in love. However, what we're going to cover tonight is some ways that we can take this out of context and use it as a license to say and do and harm innocent people. So our text tonight, Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So, a few observations tonight. When you read in verse 14 the word "then," right, it's connected with the outcome of being mature, right? Last week we talked about not only maturity, but that God, you know, loves His church, and He gave the pastors and the teachers and the prophets and the evangelists and and all of those wonderful things for the growth of the body so the body can be mature. It says when that happens, the outcome is going to be maturity. So there are two types of people listed this week in this particular context. And there are those, number one, that are infants in the body of Christ. And then there's the mature in the body of Christ. So let's talk about the attributes of the infants. Infants, it says, are tossed by the waves. And when you open up the book of James and you read in there in the first chapter, 6th verse, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, right? Does that sound familiar? It sounds like an attribute of an infant. And it's, you know, Paul says they're tossed by the waves. We know that James says that you're tossed by the waves when you doubt, but doubting is an attribute of being an infant as well. So infants, they're subject to acceptance and spreading of false doctrine. And the reason being is because they don't know the full truth yet. And I'm not suggesting that there's a time that comes when we all graduate and know the full truth of God. We're constantly learning. We're never arriving, right? We're always attaining, but never really getting there like we learned a couple of weeks ago. So they're subject to the acceptance and spreading of false doctrine. And the reason being is because they haven't been rooted and grounded yet in the faith. The next attribute is, the Bible says that Paul calls them cunning, but in a negative way, and crafty in a negative way. If you remember back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3, the creation story, the serpent was what? More crafty than all the other animals that God had made, right? And that's sometimes what an infant is. They're deceitful and they're schemers. And our job is to understand and identify those people within the body, because we want to help make them mature. We want to help them grow. We want to see them come into the fullness of God, right? So the attributes of the mature are listed here as well, and they stand in contrast to the infants. They speak God's truth with a loving heart. They understand their place in the body, right? They function well in the body to cause growth, and they are dependent upon other parts of the body, pure and simple. So at the end of our text here in 16, it says, you know, that all the ligaments of the body are working together and Christ is the head. So I just want you to remember that as we go through and talk about what does all this mean in interpretation. So let's consider the context. In the verses prior to the command to speak the truth in love, Paul writes about unity in the body of Christ, right? He urges, he calls for all Christians, you know, by extension, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received in Ephesians 4:1. We studied that last week. He describes this life as one in which we are humble, in which we are gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, and making efforts toward unity. So Paul reminds his readers that we all serve the same Lord and are all part of the same body. And he talks about, you know, Christ giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So, you know, with all that, having reached that point of maturity, we will not be spiritual infants, easily deceived and tossed in, to and fro by the cunning craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming, right? We don't want to be an infant. We don't want to do that. And the evidence, which is point number two here, of maturity in this context, is of the church and the spiritual maturity that Paul writes about. He says, when you are mature, you're able to speak the truth in love, and we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So what does he mean there? Well, your head controls everything in your body. For your toe to move, your head needs to tell your toe to move. For your toe to stop moving, your head controls that. Your head controls your speech, your thoughts, it controls everything of your body. And when we are connected to the body of Christ, we no longer have our own mind and will. We are connected to the head, and the head is the one that makes the decisions. And I think that we need to understand that as a body of Christ, because we don't have the right to sort of do our own thing as a part of the body. We do what the head tells us to do. Rather than be spiritually immature and easily deceived, we are to speak the truth to love with love to one another so that we can grow to maturity. Now, In understanding that, we're to train one another with truth, the fundamental gospel truths, the truths about God and what he has called us to do, and the hard truths. And our motivation to do this is in love. So let me just develop that for a moment, because there are some of you, and sometimes even me, that we use this verse out of context to say, well, you know, I just need to speak the truth and love to that person. And if we have something difficult to say, it's all about timing. I think timing is the key ingredient to communicating difficult things to people. Number one, are they in a place where they can hear? Number two, are both parties, you know, not distracted? Are they listening? Is the timing right for both people, both the communicator and the hearer, right? That's what love does. Love considers those things. Love doesn't get into communicating the truth and love in any time when it's convenient for you to speak it. Love asks, is this the right time? Is this the right circumstance? Is this the right place? Where is the other person? What is their demeanor? How is their day? We don't trample on those things. Love takes those things into consideration. Love is not boastful, proud, or arrogant. That's not what love does. Love builds up. Love encourages. Love ensures that we can communicate these very difficult things and people can actually hear what we're saying. So we got to be careful, because we can't use this mandate. Yes, I get to speak the truth in love. Therefore, I'm going to go rip somebody's head off with the truth. The truth does not bring people down. The truth elevates people. And if you want to know whether you're speaking the truth in love to people, you got to look at the result. Is your interaction with them building them up, or are they torn down by what you had to say? Even if it's difficult, even if it's hard, even if it's a correction, it should build up. We should encourage. We should walk that walk with that person, not just doing what we want when we want it. So the third thing here is love is the prime ingredient in effective speech. And the love, you know, referred to in this verse is agape love, and it's self-sacrificial love that works for the benefit of everybody, right? We speak the truth in order to build up. And several verses later, Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Our words should be beneficial to the hearers, period. And we should speak the truth in love. We should not cower from it if something needs to be said. Remember, it's all about timing. It's all about reading the room, so to speak. If you're looking at a situation and there's tension, sometimes that's not the time and place. Sometimes it's not the time and place to do this publicly, to speak the truth in love. It may be more beneficial if it's private. So maturity takes all these things into consideration. And I don't think, like I said before, we get the license to do what we want. Number four is speaking the truth in love builds the body of Christ. As members of the same body, we should not deceive one another. We should not defraud one another through lies, nor should we attempt to hide things about ourselves, out of shame in an effort to manage our own image. Rather, as those who are part of the same body, we need to have the same purpose and be united around the same love. We should be characterized by honesty, and those who love must speak the truth, even if it's about ourselves, right? We need to be honest about who we are. The God says in his word, come, let us reason together. Let us reason. God wants to speak the truth to you, and he wants you to speak truth to others. But how does he speak it to you? He doesn't threaten you. He doesn't yell at you. He usually speaks to you at a time when you're able to hear him. And he speaks so in a loving manner, always giving hope, always giving grace, and always exhibiting love. I want to remind you, church, that this is something that we do by practice, right? By practice. There are difficult situations in our life that you're going through right now with other people, and you see things and hear things, and you have the opportunity to speak the truth in love. Make sure that you love them enough to speak the truth. Let me say it again. If you have the opportunity to speak the truth in love, make sure you love them enough to speak the truth. Put love before the speaking. And make sure it's truth. Make sure that what you're speaking to them is biblical. Make sure what you're speaking to them is God's heart. Not your frustration, not your hurt, not your anger, not your feelings. It's the truth of God to build them up, to bind them up, to strengthen them. If you see a smoldering wick, you don't blow it out. If you see a bruised reed, you don't break it all away. You fan into flame that fire and you heal that bruised reed. Make it whole again. Tonight, as I leave you, I want to leave you with two things to consider. You are a spring, whether you like it or not. The Bible says that in James that out of the spring comes fresh water or salt water. And salt water is bitter to the taste and it does absolutely no good for anything. But fresh water is life-giving, right? So if you are a spring that produces truth and love to the body, then you are that good spring. And that speaking the truth in love is not as much about having a gentle demeanor as it is a way to truth and love that they go hand in hand, right? It's not being necessarily gentle. It's understanding that truth and love walk together. And if you're that spring of living water, because we love one another, we must speak truth. What about all the times that you could have, but you didn't, and the situation in that person gets worse? Because we know the truth, we must be people characterized by love, period. Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. And as his followers, we who are beginning, being conformed into his image, according to Romans 8:29, we should also be characterized by grace and truth. Are you a spring that produces truth to the love and love to the lost? Be that spring that produces that truth to the infant, right? We're called to love those who do not know Christ. And the best way we can show that love is to share with them the truth of the gospel. Apart from Christ, people are dead in their sins and they're destined for eternity in hell. But in Christ, they can receive new life and eternal salvation. This is the message we must share. Peter wrote, "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." 1 Peter 3:15. We share the gospel because we love people. And we love people who Christ died for. We speak God's truth because of his love in a way that clearly and unapologetically communicates both truth and love. Your choice. You can be a spring of living water that speaks truth in love, or you can be a spring of bitterness that just complains, that just is a gossip, that just spread rumor, that doesn't deal with people at a level of love, but getting back and paying tit for tat. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, tonight would be your night. The Bible says you need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved. And if you've made that your prayer, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are given the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, because the Spirit is what he left behind for your benefit. If you made that decision, find our phone number on the website and give us a call. Let us know about the decision that you made to follow Jesus so that we may rejoice with you. And for those who listen regularly, he has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that. I'll see you next week. God bless.